Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Ephesians, please. The book of Ephesians. We're going to read from chapter 6 this morning. Chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read silently. As you're finding your place this morning, would you honor the Word of God by standing to your feet this morning as we read the Word of God together, you silently, and I'll read aloud. It's beginning Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for our preacher that faithfully comes and preaches to us week after week and with your power. And we're asking today that you would anoint him again with your power as he comes. Help us to hear what you have for us today. And then do what you've preached to us through thy word. God bless us today, please. And then, Father, if there's somebody here this morning under the sound of my voice that does not know for sure they're going to heaven when they die, I pray they would settle that before they leave this room. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, we will pity you if your cell phone goes off in the service. It'll be very genuine, but it will be pity. So unless you don't want to be pitied this morning, please make sure your cell phone is turned off or turned to vibrate or whatever it is you do to make sure that it doesn't go off during the service. We would appreciate that very much. That's probably the kindest warning I've ever given. So please, that's good, huh? I need to get the videos out again and run those so you can see some of our cell phone warnings. We're working on one of our own, but the government keeps shutting us down. So we'll try and we'll work on something there. They're telling us that in almost just over 6,000 years of human history, the world is known collectively less than 270 years of peace. Some are telling us that the world has never known peace from the first man till today. There's always a conflict, a battle going on somewhere. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible tells us what's the real battle, though. Is the real battle this morning, is it that which goes on between nations today? I was watching an interview with the defense minister of Israel this week. I don't know if you realize this or not. I'm not trying to instill any fear or concern in you. But if Iran decides to go ahead and start transferring some of what they're doing with their nuclear plants into weaponry, Israel's going to attack them, and the Middle East is going to explode. That could happen before you and I get to lunch today. God help this nation if we don't back that nation of Israel and what they do and how we do things. But that's a potential of things this morning. Then there's the conflicts and battles that go on inside of nations. Those trying to obtain their freedom. It always costs blood. Always. The price of blood and life is paid for freedoms. And within nations today around this world, there are people trying to obtain freedoms from dictators and ungodly leaders. Is that where the real battle is, though? See, those of us who know the Bible know this. There are really two battlefields today. There is the battlefield of what goes on inside of us. We won't get to that this morning. And then there's the battlefield of what goes on around us. There is, now listen, please listen this morning. You and I live and exist every day on a spiritual battlefield. Every day. That battlefield knows no limits or boundaries. It goes on right now this morning. There are people right now not paying attention, and you think that's just because of your lack of attention. The truth is, it's a spiritual warfare. I've had people come and visit before, and they say, well, Pastor, you know, somebody started to make a disturbance, and you stopped it immediately. You should have just let them. No, I'm sorry, but no. No, there's a spiritual warfare going on right now in this auditorium. So I don't see anything. Not trying to get you to, you know, fear the boogeyman and think there's something spooky that goes on. But we live every day of our lives, whether it's in your home, your place of business, you go to the grocery store, you come to church. Wherever you go in your life, you and I literally, every day of our lives, we live on a spiritual battlefield. See, look at your Bibles now again this morning. What we, Brother Evans, read is the text today. It says there, please notice verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That last statement is in the Greek, is Congress. But the truth is, it's a list. What it is there is a list of these spiritual realms that have conflicts going on inside of them all the time and around us at all times. We live on a spiritual battlefield. Whether we understand it or not, this spiritual battlefield, the purpose of it, is a battle for the souls of men, women, and children. When someone comes to church and they don't pay attention, they don't seem to understand that there's a reason for that. You'd rather look at your phone than listen to what the preacher's telling you. There's a spiritual warfare that goes on behind this. Now listen to me. Of distraction. They're masters at this. Anybody that knows anything about warfare knows that there's always distraction on battlefields to try and distract enemies and combatants from seeing the real intent and purpose of what's being carried out. You and I live day by day, every day, on a spiritual battlefield. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now we see it as a horizontal thing. Well, the problem is these people with whom I work. The problem is this conflict within my family. The problem is, well, that's what we see because we can only see the flesh and blood of things. But the truth is behind all of that is a spiritual battle. And it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And then it begins to list the ranks and the realms of that battlefield. It goes on around us. It is seen and it is unseen, but it is there. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 13 tells us of this battle that goes on around us. It tells us that this battlefield in which we live every day of our lives, we must be prepared and protected as we live on this spiritual battlefield. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. What is the real battle? It's the spiritual warfare that goes on around us in our day-by-day lives. And ladies and gentlemen, I assure you today, if you lived in Syria, and you and I were in the country of Syria today, we were there this last October, and the oppressive hand of this dictator that is there, they're telling us now that he is claiming that he's not killing his own people, and that his military is not involved, but what he has is hired henchmen that come in behind the military and slaughter people. And they're his people. He's a liar. He's got the blood of his own people on his hands. You and I lived in Syria today, we would literally be living in the midst of a battlefield. Afghanistan knows what we speak of today. Several countries in Africa today, their everyday life is going to a marketplace where bombs are set off and soldiers run through with AK-47s and spray people down. They live on those kind of battlefields. Do you know something? If we lived on a battlefield like that, our lives and our thinking would be different. And every day I assure you of this, your thought would not be, what are we going to have for lunch? Your thought would be, how am I going to get through this day alive and safe? Then I say unto you this morning, we live on a spiritual battlefield. And it is essential that we are prepared and protected for this. God has provided that for us. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us to take unto us the whole armor of God. Look at the passage again, please, now at verse number 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand means more than stand upright. It means survive. It means to go forward. Listen, every battlefield has two things on every battlefield: victors and victims. Those who survive and those who don't. Listen, every battlefield has victories attached to it. Everyone. Somebody wins, somebody loses. Someone returns to their family and their friends, and some do not. And since we live on a spirit, Pastor Johnson, you're trying to tell me that we could physically die on this spiritual battlefield. It's a very real possibility. But worse than physically dying is this: becoming a victim on the spiritual battlefield in which we live. Whereby, listen now, our marriages get wrecked, our families are destroyed, our churches are deteriorated, falling apart, bombshelled, literally. Where we see a society that is literally being blown apart by what is taking place, and it seems like so many today have no understanding or perception of the fact that this is not about somebody's fashion or design or about somebody's philosophy or approach. This is a battlefield, and victories are being won and victims are being taken. Well, Pastor, you got me nervous now. Don't get nervous. Get ready. Be alert about some things. Let me talk to you about this battlefield today. How can we be prepared and protected in this battlefield that goes on around us? First of all, do not deny it exists. Do not deny that it exists. Well, that's just what you say, and that's a spiritual approach to things that happen. But I think there are other reasons for it. Listen to me. Everything that you see that takes place, you see that which is the effect of it. I say unto you, the Bible says, it's a part of the spiritual warfare that goes on around us. To deny that you live on a battlefield is foolish. We watch those news reports of these dear poor people and they're in Syria over there, walking down the street trying to get to a marketplace to get a loaf of bread for their families while bullets fly over their heads and bombs are being exploded and people are dropping dead in front of them. How foolish would a person be to walk out into a battlefield and act like there was no war, even though bullets are flying and bombs are exploding and troubles all around them? How foolish would that be? No doubt they would become victims quickly and easily. So this thing about being prepared and being protected in this spiritual battlefield in which we live. By the way, the sides are clearly and easily drawn. God's side and Satan's side. And there is no in between, as we'll point out in a moment. And God is on the battlefield to protect his own and to win victories for his cause. Satan is doing the same. To be protected and to be prepared and protected on this spiritual battlefield, we must not deny that it exists. We must not turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to the fact that we are in the middle of a spiritual warfare. See, no, that's not how I see it. See, I just got this problem that goes on in my family. It is a spiritual warfare first and foremost. You need to see that. You need to understand that operating behind the scenes of all that goes on in mankind as to individuals, families, cities, governments, nations, whatever, behind all of that is this work of warfare that goes on between God and Satan. And it's essential to see that and understand it. I don't want you to get weird about things and feel like, oh yeah, there it is. I can see that, Pastor Johnson. But I want you to understand if you deny its existence, you'll become a victim so fast it won't even be funny. You'll listen to me. You'll actually believe that things just happen. No, they don't. Things always happen for a reason. Always happen for a reason. There's always a purpose behind it. And the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. How are we prepared and protected on this battlefield? You need to be on the right side of the battle. You need to be on the right side of this battle. When it says in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. He is not only telling you that you need armor for protection, He's telling you, you need armor for identification. One thing about the military around the world today, their uniforms are all different. I remember when I was in the service, and I was outside of London on some leave. And I'd gone to those places where the guys stand there in the red coats and the Tina Turner hats, you know, those big black fuzzy looking jobs. And I'd stop to get something to eat outside of Windsor Castle, which is outside of London, where the royal family is supposed to live. They live regularly, I suppose. They call it an apartment. I like to see an apartment like that. And I've been in there, too. And if you've seen it, you know it's not an apartment. It's a castle. But I stopped in an eating establishment while I was sitting there eating my lunch. And three or four young, big strapping Englishmen walk in, young guys my age, sit down. And I heard them talking. They were in civilian clothes, but they were those red coat Tina Turner guys. And one of them leaned over to me and he goes, "Hey, Yank." He says, "You're a Yank, aren't you?" I said, "I'm American, sure." He goes, what are you doing over this way?" And I said, "Well, I'm in the service and I'm on leave." He goes, "Oh, you're in the second-rate military." Mm-hmm. Now, there was only four of them. So, this was in my younger, more stupid days. I was by myself, and there's four of these guys, and they're pretty good-sized boys, too. I leaned over and I said, "Second-rate military? I wouldn't call anybody second-rate military who looks like his sister's Tina Turner. He wears a red coat and stands out like a bellhop in front of a hotel with a gun that doesn't even have any bullets in it and can't move." See, how did it go, Pastor Johnson? We'll just leave that in the record of history. Let's just say. Let's just say this, the relations between England and America were slightly strained that day, okay? When he says, "Take to you the armor of God," he's saying you need to identify which side you're on, who you belong to. Because the battle line is drawn and the battle rages. And there are only two sides, God's side and Satan's side. There is no neutral territory. There is no Switzerland in this battle. There's no anti-war peaceniks who just say, "Well, I'm not going to get involved." Sorry, you don't have a choice. You are on one side or you're on the other side. You're either with God on this thing or you're with the devil on this thing. "Well, I'm not worshiping the devil, Pastor Johnson." You don't have to. You just have to wear his uniform. You just have to be identified as part of his program, a part of what he does, a part of how he operates, a part of his system, his thinking, his talking, his living, his acting. How many have been in the military before? Raise your hand. Would you please? We recognize these folks on our Memorial Day the other day. You know what you do when you go in the military. The first thing they do is teach you how to be an individual. They stress individualism, don't they? Right, folks who've been in boot camp? Remember boot camp? How they emphasize the importance of being your own special little person. No, they teach you to shut up and do what you're told. They teach you how to stand, walk, sit, everything. They teach you how to fold your cotton picking underwear. They teach you everything. They teach you how to make a bed. They teach you where to stand up, sit down, how to march, how to walk, how to talk, who you're supposed to salute, who you're not supposed to salute. They're trying to be very careful and particular in robbing you of your individualism to make you a part of a greater whole that has a greater purpose of service. And ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing changed in God's program or the devil's. You need to figure out which side you're on. You need to realize you made a choice to get there. Because he said, "Take unto you the whole armor of God." You don't have that. That's a choice that you make. Now, I've always believed that the Marines, their Marine dress uniform is the sharpest uniform in all the military. It is. I think it's very sharp. I was in the Air Force. Air Force blues are nice, but, you know, they're sharp, all right, but you can't beat a Marine dress uniform. I mean, that is slick, that is sharp, that's the way it ought to be. But I wouldn't wear a Navy uniform for nothing or nobody. Bell bottoms with a Dixie cup on your head, and you think about that for just a moment. What? A Dixie cup on their head, wearing a uniform called a Cracker Jack. Candy and cups on your head, and you're supposed to be in the military. That doesn't sound right to me. Shut up, you're not preaching. The truth of the matter, all my Navy brethren out there are getting very upset with me. Yeah, that's right. But you can't, don't hit me with your Dixie cup. The truth is, it's identification. Now, of course, obviously, we're talking about your salvation. That's first and foremost. You don't sign up to get in God's army. You get born into the family of God. That's salvation, by accepting Christ as your personal Savior. And when you got saved, my friend, whether you understood it or not, you had declared yourself as a part of God's program. Say, well, that's not how I want it known. Too late, the devil already knows. You became a part of God's family when you accepted Christ as your Savior. Do you have salvation, and do you know? Are you certain? Young people over here, pay attention. Are you certain? Do you know for certain you have eternal life and a home in heaven? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Listen now, when you did that, you took on the program of God. You said, I'm on God's side now. But then we got this problem in the military called AWOL, absent without leave, where you do not have permission to leave and you just left anyway. Got a lot of AWOL Christians now. They're supposed to be part of God's program. If you ask them if they're saved, they'll tell you they are, but you couldn't tell. You couldn't tell by the way they act, they talk, where they go, what they do. No. Even if they put a fish bumper sticker on the car, you couldn't tell they were Christians by what they did. You know, that it's true. This Midwest, this policeman pulled a woman over and drug her out of the car, man over and drug him out of the car and threw him on the hood and was going to arrest him for stealing a car. And the man said, I don't understand this. He said, this is my car. What makes you think I stole it? And the policeman said, well, I watched you while you were driving. You honked at everybody. You were rude. You made obscene gestures. You cursed at people. And when I saw that fish bumper sticker on your car, I thought, he can't be a Christian. He stole that car. So it's true. If somebody arrested you for being a Christian, would they have enough evidence to convict you? It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation park. It's a fight and not a game. Whose side are you on? Well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, let's be realistic about this for a moment. There seems to be more for the devil than for God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Since when did God ever have to have a majority to make a difference anyway? If you check the ark, Noah, and the flood situation, there were less in the ark than outside, but I'd have taken the number in the ark than outside. And broad is the gate, and wide is the path that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leadeth unto life everlasting, and few there be that find it. But I'll take the straight gate and the narrow way and eternal life over the wide one that leads many people to hell. You see, you're prepared and protected if you're on the right side of this battle. Are you saved? Is it clear whose side you're on? Boy, if you try to take a stand for Christ today, that gets you in trouble. I didn't say you were not going to have any problems. But I would rather have problems standing up for the one who gave his life for me and living for him. I would rather have those problems than the problems of being a traitor and going to the other side. You know how you're prepared and protected in this battle? You accept that it's a daily battle. Look what it says again in verse 13, Ephesians 6. Quickly, please. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You know how you're prepared and protected in this spiritual battle? You have to realize it's an everyday thing. Every day. Every day of your life, when you open your eyes and God gives you another day on this planet, every day you and I live on a spiritual battlefield, and that's an everyday battle. Well, I'm sick and tired of it, Pastor. I just want some peace and contentment. Nobody has peace without conflict first. Conflict has to always come before peace. It's a daily struggle, this thing. Oh, but by the way, there's grace sufficient for every day. There's mercies new every morning. that is God's manna of His blessings and goodness and fellowship upon your life. There's strength enough to do what you need to do for that day. You can be strong, as He said in Ephesians 6:10. You can be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. God will recharge your spiritual batteries. You'll get up again the next day. There'll be strength there. There'll be help there. There'll be God there. He'll help you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll take care of you. But you need to realize that any day that I back up is a day of defeat, not victory. Well, today I'm just not going to fight the fight. Today I'm just going to do what I want to do. You just stepped onto the battlefield the wrong way with the wrong attitude. Every day it's a daily battle. Don't dread it. Don't feel like it's a burden you can't bear. The daily armor of the Christian described in these verses, and we won't go into them for time's sake, there are 8 pieces of spiritual armor here. All of them are related to God's Word. Every one of them. The helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, sword of the Spirit. All of those are related to the Bible. In other words, what you do when you get out of bed in the morning is you get your Bible and you spend some time with God and you literally equip yourself for your spiritual warfare that day. That's why you have daily time in the Bible. That's why you have church to go where the Bible is preached and taught. And you get as much Bible in you as you can so you can have as much armor on you as you need. And it gives you strength and it gives you protection and it gives you encouragement and it gives you weapons with which to fight the battle. I like God's armor. God's armor is not all defensive. There are offensive weapons there too. There's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There's prayer and supplication with all saints. You know something? The Bible and prayer is the most powerful weapon we have as God's people. So that way we don't have to just take it. We can give it. Give it to the devil and do something for God's cause. Every day I'm to be prepared and protected if I have a daily walk and a daily obedience in my life to God's Word. You know how you're prepared and protected in this battle. You need to know there's no retreat. When you look at the armor of God here, all the pieces of this armor, do you realize there are no pieces for the back of the soldier here? There's no back armor. That's because of this. There's no retreat. You turn and run, you become a victim. Well, I'm just kind of backing up in my life right now, Pastor Johnson. You just exposed the only unprotected part of your life to the one who knows everything about you. And I'm not talking about God. I'm not talking about Satan. You turn your back on this thing and turn around and say, I'm just going to do what I want. I'm going to live the way I want to live, and that's just all there is to it. No, that's not all there is to it. You just turned your back on the enemy. I was talking with a young man who just had spent 2 tours in Iraq during that conflict, and he was explaining to me how they had prepared him for battlefield situations. And one of the things they told him was, if you're ever caught in an ambush, never retreat. You will almost certainly be killed if you retreat. Your only protection is to go at the enemy. That's your only protection. And they weren't just trying to get them to run and die. They were trying to help them to understand, in retreat, you don't pay attention to where you are, what you're doing, and what's going on. You're just trying to think about your life and yourself and getting out of there as fast as you can. No, he said, don't. They drilled it into them. You get in a battlefield situation, the enemy ambushes you, you go at the enemy. That is your only protection, because you're thinking, you're paying attention, and you're giving it to them instead of taking it. That's the best way for you to get out of this conflict. Is it not interesting that after all these years, spiritual battlefields, the purpose is still the same? You can't quit. You can't walk off. You can't back up. You can't turn off on God. You can't walk away. Well, I did. Then you'll become a victim. It won't take long, but it will happen. Because there isn't any protection for the back of a quitting Christian soldier. You have to go forward. The Maasai people in Africa teach their children who tend the animals out in the bush surrounded by lions. The Maasai teach their children, do not run from the roar of the lion. Run to the roar. That is your only protection. And fight in your stand. That is the only way you could hope to survive. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. I'm not apologizing for anything that we are believe as a church. But I'm sorry Shasta Baptist Church is just a little different than some churches. I'm sorry that we take this thing on like we're aggressive. Like, you know, it's kind of a militaristic kind of church, Pastor Johnson. where everybody else is kind of sloppy, agape, laid back, BB spitting, barking like a dog, flag waving, circus show Christianity, where you can just kind of come to church, get a little pat on a pole, and send you off to your champagne and scrambled eggs. I'm sorry we don't do that. I'm sorry we raise a standard that's high. I'm sorry, but I'm not apologizing. Because I'm going to tell you something, friend. There'll be less victims in a church like this than those stinking Mickey Mouse outfits that don't ask of anything of anybody except just show up and get a little entertainment and go home. I'm sorry, but I'm here today to announce to you that week after week can be victors and not victims in this spiritual battlefield. Our marriages can survive. Our children can turn out right. Our families can do what God wants them to do. Our church can be blessed and obeyed. Do what God wants it to do. If you get on the right side of the battlefield, equip yourself every day for it and stand up, stand up, stand up for Jesus. I can't answer for every Mickey Mouse Christian on this planet. And I don't want to. I'm tired of people asking me, well, what do you think about Tim Tebow? What do you think about this? I can't answer for these people. I can't answer for their living, their life, and what they do. I can tell you this, I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed with people who are involved in industries and businesses that's contrary to what the Bible says and take them away from the basic things that every Christian should be doing. That goes for the entertainment crowd as well as the sports crowd. Not impressed. I'm glad that they have some kind of testimony. Please don't misunderstand me, but I'm not impressed. I'll tell you what I'm impressed with. I'm impressed with 85, 90-year-old people who go to church every time they can get up and their bones will move well enough to get to church. That impresses me. They don't have to T-bow in an end zone to get attention. They get on their face before God every day and hold up their own and their preacher and their church and their people before God. I'm impressed with that. Because you got to go. You're on the battlefield today. And we have to be prepared and protected. And if you are, guess what? There's victories on the battlefield. I remember when we got out of boot camp, they gave you a service ribbon. A little red and yellow service ribbon. I found mine in the drawer the other day. I think I had 3 or 4 ribbons. I served during the Vietnam conflict, but I was not in Vietnam. They should have given me a blue ribbon for the Arctic because I spent a year in the frozen deep. But I found something out. The best of the awards and rewards of the military are given out on the battlefield, where the greatest sacrifices are made. But where victories are won. I can tell you this. You try to be a Christian in Satan's army and see how he treats you and what happens. And see if it turns out well for you. It will not, it never has, and it never will. But Pastor John said, if I live for God like you're talking about, I mean, that's going to cost me some friendships. I'm not going to be real popular with some people. Yeah. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And last time I checked it, Jesus didn't go to heaven from a throne. He went to heaven from a cross. And an empty tomb. And the hatred of more than the approval of others. And if I'm going to try to be like him, that's just how it's going to work. But by the way, it ain't over yet, is it? It's Jesus who's returning very soon. It's Jesus who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when it's over and said and done, he wins. And so does everybody on his side. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation park. It's a fight, not a game. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Whose side are you on?